This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
And it's Sadie's night. That's all I have to say about it. Sadie, what are you bringing the people tonight?
This is the disappearance of Marlena Childress.
Oh boy. That name sounds familiar.
You may have heard about this one.
Probably, after all these years of digging. digging for the awfulness. Tell me everything.
On April 16th, 1987... 4-year-old Marlena Childress was playing in front of her home in Union City, Tennessee, where she lived with her mother, Pamela Bailey, stepfather, Johnny, and 4-month-old half-brother, Damon. That day, her 7-year-old stepbrother, Jerry, was visiting their house, too. Marlena was described as a shy little girl who took some time to warm up to people, but once she did, she was fun-loving and very sweet.
Oh, so she's only four?
Four. She loved music and would often pretend to be in a marching band. Her parents divorced when she was 2 years old, and she lived with her mom most days, but would go to her dad's house every other weekend. She was said to be looking forward to an Easter egg hunt coming up in the next few days. Marlena's mother, Pam, said that that afternoon, around 3 p.m., Marlena was outside playing in the front yard when she heard what sounded like brakes squealing.
Oh, boy.
She was worried that a car had hit her daughter and looked out the kitchen window. She saw an older 2-door red car stopped in front of her house, afraid that something happened to Marlena, you know, like she'd been hit by the car.
Of course.
Pam ran outside to see what happened, but by the time she got there, Marlena was nowhere to be found.
Oh, God.
Pam called police and a massive search was launched for the girl immediately. Pam said the red car she saw had out-of-state plates from either Kentucky or Illinois. She also remembered earlier in the day that she had gone to a local store with Marlena and her stepson, Jerry. While they were at the store, Jerry and the store owner had seen an unfamiliar man talking to Marlena outside. He was driving a red car.
Oh, jeez.
Police were able to track down this man, but he was quickly ruled out as a suspect. Nearly 1,000 people volunteered to help search for Marlena, including helicopters and bloodhounds, and tens of thousands of missing persons flyers were distributed throughout the area. It was a big deal.
Massive.
Big.
I mean, like, yeah, a 4-year-old girl gets snatched from her front yard in a screaming car.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get people riled up.
Mm-hmm. Marlena was described as having blue hazel eyes, brown straight hair, and pierced ears. She was roughly 48 inches tall and 38 pounds. The day she went missing, she was wearing light purple pants and a purple and white checkered top with those super popular pink jelly shoes.
Mm-hmm.
She had stainless steel or silver caps on her front and bottom teeth, which would be easy to identify. Marlena's grandfather quickly offered up a $10,000 reward to anyone who led them back to little Marlena. That reward eventually grew to $50,000.
Wow.
Pam was interviewed by local news sources where she cried and begged for her daughter's safe return, but despite everyone's efforts to locate Marlena, no trace of her was found.
Hmm.
Police questioned Marlena's dad, Kevin, and his family to see if they were responsible, but they were all ruled out as suspects. I read an article about how Kevin's family and Pam's family were like dueling, like not trusting each other.
Yep.
And they were like, I'll take truth serum if you take truth serum. And they're like, no, we don't want to do truth serum, but we'll be hypnotized if you'll be hypnotized.
Oh my God.
You know, like just
yeah,
wanting the truth.
I imagine
to come
that probably happens more often than it doesn't, especially in families that have divorced.
Yes. Yeah.
Like everybody's so upset and they've got to put that someplace. And mm-hmm. So of course they're going to put it on the other side of the family and blame or compete or fight or whatever.
Right. Yep. It's easier to do that than have to face the truth.
Yeah. Even if you're not divorced, I mean, there's mm-hmm. just going to be so much blame back and forth between spouses, I imagine.
Yes. So tips continued to flood in, and some of them were very promising. One lead came from a woman in Memphis, Tennessee, just 6 days after Marlena disappeared. Memphis is about 100 miles from Union City, and on April 22, 1987, a hairdresser who worked at Jean's hair salon said that two women, one in her 20s and one in her 60s, and two children, a boy who looked to be about six and a little girl who was around four, walked into the salon. The hairdresser said the two women wanted the little girl's haircut, and during the cut, she cried and said, quote, "I want my mommy. I want to go home."
Oh, no.
The hairdresser said that neither woman tried to console or calm the little girl and just let her cry. After a while, the older woman finally spoke up and told the child, quote, "Be a good girl, Marlena, and we'll take you to the movies."
That is some nerve to take her to a salon to get her hair cut, right? To change her appearance. Holy shit.
It wasn't until later that day when the hairdresser went to a convenience store that she saw Marlena's picture in the newspaper. She said she recognized her right away and as the little girl who had just been in her chair, so she called the police.
Wow.
They investigated the lead, but were unable to confirm it was Marlena that had been there. Marlena's grandfather hired a private investigator who also looked into this lead, and he ended up convinced it was Marlena, but he wasn't able to find her. Mm-hmm. There is a Unsolved Mysteries, like, you know, like a 12-minute little clip of this in Unsolved Mysteries, and they interview the hair stylists that say this happened, and it's just one of those, like, not to say this didn't actually happen, but they were just so into being interviewed. I was like, there was another part where they were like, and then after that we started receiving threatening phone calls at the salon, and I was like, I think really you're enjoying this a little too much.
Yep.
A few weeks into the search for her daughter, Pam checked herself into the hospital for, quote, exhaustion and depression. The stress of Marlena's disappearance was just too much for her. After spending a week there receiving treatment, she was discharged. Soon after, on June 8th, Pam shocked everyone by announcing that she had been the one responsible for her daughter's disappearance and that she had accidentally killed Marlena.
I was afraid that was coming. Ugh.
This admission came during an interview slash interrogation with the private investigator hired by Pam's parents.
So her own parents.
Yeah, and they had a private investigator just investigate, and he was the one that got this confession.
Wow.
So Pam said that Marlena had been, quote, acting up, and in a fit of rage, Pam smacked Marlena across the face very hard. This caused Marlena to fall over and hit her head on a table, killing her.
I'm skeptical.
Pam said she panicked, put Marlena's body in her truck, and asked an old family friend of hers named P.L. Summers to help her dispose of Marlena. According to Pam, they drove to the Obion River and dumped the four-year-old's body into the water. The private investigator taped the confession and turned it over to police. Pam was arrested and charged with the second-degree murder of Marlena, and her bail was set at $100,000. The judge ordered her to be placed in a state's mental hospital for observation while she awaited trial. Meanwhile, a massive search of the Obion River began. Divers combed the river, and boats dragged the bottom for 5 days. They brought out cadaver dogs and even a psychic who said they could locate Marlena's body. I love the 80s. They were just all about the psychics.
All about Unsolved Mysteries. All about not consoling crying children.
Right. Yes. Right.
All about the psychics. Yes. It was a very sensational time.
Yes. But not one piece of evidence linked to the four-year-old was found.
I knew it.
To make matters more bizarre, the alleged accomplice, P.L. Summers, said he knew Pam, but hadn't seen her in years and didn't even know Marlena was missing. He had a solid alibi for the time frame of Marlena's disappearance, and there was nothing to suggest that he had been involved in any way.
What is happening?
He was ultimately cleared of any wrongdoing. During this time, while Pam sat in jail, she recanted her confession.
Ah, ha ha! Leave it to me.
Right?
Yep.
She claimed that she had been coerced by the private investigator into admitting to her daughter's murder. That it's another thing in the 80s. I mean, it's another thing now too, but they love a false confession.
Well, yeah. Also, you're not getting your money's worth if you hire a private investigator and then he frames your own daughter.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you getting at, dude? Like, yeah. Your
ego, like, I think.
Yeah.
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 He was also on the Unsolved Mysteries and was like, I did a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
She said he threatened her with the death penalty unless she told him what happened. She also claimed her judgment was clouded by her antidepressant medication she was taking.
Mm-hmm.
She changed her story and said that P.L. Summers was a family friend who had sexually abused her when she was a child.
Oh, wow.
She claimed that Summers was a pedophile and had been the one who had kidnapped Marlena after Pam had refused his sexual advances.
Whoa. Yeah.
Once again, police looked into Summers but couldn't find any evidence to connect him to Marlena's disappearance. But they did find that Summers was arrested for molesting two children. One was just 9 years old, just a few months after Marlena went missing. But there was still no proof that he was involved in her case.
Dang.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that Pam's admission that he had molested her was true.
Yes.
And she was like in...
Trying to bring that to light.
Yeah.
In a very roundabout way.
Right. Yeah. And go ahead and pin her child's disappearance. Like, if she thinks she's going to be convicted of this, then like might as well bring the...
100%.
Yeah.
Her abuser down too.
Right. Summers pleaded guilty to the molestation charges and spent time in prison. The private investigator who got Pam to confess was adamant that he hadn't coerced her into confessing and that Pam had been full of remorse and was very truthful when she confessed. He even played a 5-minute excerpt from her confession for the media as proof that she hadn't been forced into anything. A whole 5 minutes of the confession.
Right.
On the tape, you can hear him ask Pam if she was making her story up because she was scared. Pam answers him by saying, quote, "No, I threw her in myself." She would later tell Unsolved Mysteries that the investigator told her he had evidence and eyewitnesses that proved she had killed Marlena. If she didn't confess, she would get the death penalty. He did not have these things.
No.
Pam also said that he told her to say it had been an accident and that she had hit Marlena, but didn't mean to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Pam was held at the mental hospital while police tried to figure out what was happening. She was deemed sane enough to stand trial, but there wasn't enough evidence for a grand jury to indict her with any crimes. There was just nothing. There was no evidence this whole time.
Right. No blood in the kitchen, no baby, no
nothing. Nothing. Yeah. No, I didn't see any other eyewitnesses that witnessed Marlena being kidnapped in the neighborhood. Like, nothing.
Right.
Police questioned Pam on multiple occasions. Each time she changed her story. And at one point, she told police that she had sold Marlena to pay off drug debt that she had accrued.
What is going on with Pam? What is happening?
Not mentally healthy.
No.
Her charges were lessened from second-degree murder to manslaughter. And when a grand jury failed to indict Pam on manslaughter, the charges against her were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
After being released, Pam and her husband Johnny and their son Damon moved to Kentucky to live with her parents. The search for Marlena continued, and tips still came in from time to time. In May of 1989, a tip came in that Marlena was living with a large, quote, roving family that spent their time moving from state to state. Another thing that they loved in the 80s was talking about the gypsy families, right? That did not exist in the United States.
So many things. Satanic worship did not exist, but we were obsessed with that.
Quicksand.
Could not get enough of it.
Right.
Poisoned Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm. Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, man. Couldn't get enough Bermuda Triangle.
No.
Aliens, which is back in vogue. We're back on that.
Yeah.
That's never going to go away, but that was huge back then.
These roving families. Again, the newspaper articles, like in the archives that I read, was just all about talking about the gypsy family. And I was like, oh, God, please stop. Stop.
Where did that even come from? Cartoons? Like, where would that be
at the forefront? Just so racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
The family's last name also happened to be Childress, but they shared no relations to Marlena. It was reported that the family moved often and would take custody of children that weren't theirs biologically in order to receive their child support checks from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses.
Which that doesn't work that way. That's not. That's,
I know.
You know?
I know. Yeah.
Just reroute it to us. Yeah, Caravan we'll take 5.
Them. Right.
You know, yeah, like, no, right? No.
Witnesses said they saw a child with the family while they were living in Alabama that shared a striking resemblance to Marlena. When the father, Oliver Childress, was arrested on child sex abuse charges after molesting 2 of the 10 children in his care, he was questioned about Marlena. She was not with the rest of the children at the time of his arrest, and despite some of the kids in the family identifying Marlena as the child who had been with them, there was no physical evidence that she had been there, so it was another dead end.
But his last name is Childress.
Yeah, but no relation, just a coincidence.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another call that came in September of 1989 was from a woman named Amy Spoon.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the big one, you be the little
one. Exactly. She was shopping in Strickland, Tennessee, and said that her children were in the toy section of a department store playing with a little girl. She started talking to the girl when a woman came up and started to yell at her, at the girl, telling her it was time to leave. The little girl reluctantly walked off with the woman. A few days later, Amy Spoon received a missing persons flyer in the mail, and when she saw the picture of Marlena, she was convinced she was the little girl that she saw in the store. Mm-hmm. Once again, the tip was looked into, but nothing came of it. Another tip came in from Nevada in 1990 when someone thought they saw Marlena, but that sighting was never able to be confirmed either.
Right.
It was just constant Marlena sightings. And she was a very typical looking, I mean, adorable, but like right. I could see, you know, very.
But she looks like a kid, a brunette.
Like
she
looked
kid.
Like me and looked like you and looked like
yep.
all
yep.
little girls in the
yep.
mid to late 80s. We all had the same haircut. We all, you know, was, yes. wore the same clothes.
Yep.
Yeah. Brown,
she wasn't
straight
a
hair.
JonBenet. Who right. would stand out anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that really would hold your attention was her, you know, caps on her teeth, but then her mm-hmm. teeth would, her baby teeth would fall out and,
right.
you know, there goes that. So.
And I, a lot of kids had those back then too. I don't know if they still do that, but.
I don't think so. Not as much.
Super common to cap baby's teeth like that.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. So after moving to Kentucky, on the advice of her lawyer, Pam stopped talking to the media and had another child, a son named Casey. Her parents continued to do interviews and tried to keep Marlena in the news. In one interview on the one-year anniversary of Marlena's disappearance, her grandfather, whose name was LeWade, said he believed Marlena was still very much alive and had been kidnapped and sold for adoption. Quote, she's probably in old Mexico or Canada or Saudi Arabia. She's out of the country somewhere. He believed she had been sold to an unsuspecting family who didn't know that she had been taken from her family. The years continued to pass, but there was still no sign of Marlena and her case went cold. That would all change on April 22nd, 2002, when Pam Bailey was arrested again.
Pam.
This time, it was for the attempted murder of her 12-year-old son, Casey.
Oh, no, Pam.
Casey would later tell police that on the night of April 22nd, around 8 p.m., Pam told him that she had a surprise for him. She put a blindfold over Casey's eyes and had him get in the car.
No.
Pam then drove her child to a cemetery. She led him to a grave that said son on the headstone and then proceeded to stab him 3 times.
Oh, God, that is bone chilling.
Chilling.
Oh, that poor child. That poor child.
Yes. She stabbed him 2 in the neck and 1 across the chest.
Oh, my God, that is not, you do not come from, back from that. That is so
no.
fucking scary. Scary,
no.
scary, scary, legit, next level, scary, scary.
12 years old.
Wow, man.
Yes.
It is one thing to have your anybody attack you, but to like take you to a scene and a grave. That's so bad. That is so,
so bad.
Bad.
There's something about that age. Like, you know, at any age, it would be horrifying, but there's something about a 12-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Not quite defenseless, still very trusting.
Knows exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Fully online, you know.
Take the blindfold off or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yep. Prepubescent. Just, oof.
Yes. Yep. Terrified and bleeding profusely, Casey managed to get away from his mother and run to the nearest neighbor for help. I read an article about this instance, and it was a man with his two daughters, and one of them was in the bathtub, and the other one could hear somebody screaming outside, and she was afraid to let him in, and they did it anyway. And thank God they were able to help him and stop the bleeding. And but just all of it.
Yeah, I saw a real quick side note. I saw a Nextdoor post recently. It was like, if you live at, you know, XX whatever, you know, high road 400, and I just smashed into your garbage can, like,
I saw that too.
Like, I'll be back. I had three kids in the car, you know, so I couldn't stop. And I was like, I never really thought about that, you know, like, there's an emergency happening, but you also have like a naked child in a bathtub. Right. Like,
yeah, what do you do?
What do you do? You know? Like, yes. I mean, obviously smashing into a trash can is not an emergency, but yeah, she was like, I couldn't stop. I'm like, yeah, you can't just
pull over.
You've got children, especially if small children, you know, you can't just, so Jesus.
Yes. Yep.
Worst case scenario all the way around.
Yes. So Pam took off in her car and was arrested at a Dollar General store 4 hours later after she ran out of gas and called her dad for help. Ugh. He called the police and told them where she was.
Oh, I have chills.
Yeah. The date of the stabbing was just 1 week after the 15-year anniversary of Marlena's disappearance, and police had just announced they would be reopening her cold case. After stabbing her son, police said they would look into Pam again as a possible suspect in Marlena's case as well.
I think that would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Pam's father said he was shocked by what Pam did to Casey and that the two were always very close. Wherever Pam went, Casey followed.
Oh, buddy. God.
LaWade had no explanation to why she had tried to hurt him. Luckily, Casey made a full physical recovery, and Pam ended up entering an Alfred plea, which again is a guilty plea where the defendant does not have to admit to guilt but agrees that there is likely enough evidence for conviction.
Right.
So she did this for second degree assault. She was sentenced to 10 years in prison and was eligible for parole after serving just 2 years.
Wow.
During her sentencing hearing, her lawyer said she blacked out the night she stabbed Casey and couldn't remember what happened. Which, I hate that defense.
I know. But, I mean, God, yeah. If you are that far gone that you're able to set that up and attack your little son like that, having had an otherwise loving relationship, like, something's going on up there. Something very bad is going on up there. Whatever it is, you are probably unwell enough, too, that you would also try to remove that.
Yeah, from your of course. Own mind, right? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I get it, and I would do the same thing, but like, don't know, I forgot. I wasn't there, but I just hate when that happens because I think it's such a cop-out. Like, she owes her son more than that, but maybe she doesn't remember. So when she finally came to, she had run out of gas and was at the Dollar General store.
Yep.
Pam's husband divorced her after this and was given full custody of their two sons. Pam spent just under 10 years in prison before being released, I think. I read that in like a blog. I couldn't find it anywhere else. And I looked and looked in the Kentucky conviction records or whatever, the prison records, and I couldn't find how long she was in prison. Mm. So Marlena has never been found and her case remains open, but unsolved. She would be 39 years old if she was around today.
Right.
Marlena's grandfather, LaWade, who had a brother named LaWayne.
You guys, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know. I wanted to follow up with LaWade, and I found his obituary, and they just, like, casually mentioned that he had a brother named LaWayne, and I hope they were twins. It didn't say that, but I hope.
Well, they were great names. I mean, one's a great name. So even if they weren't, they're like, you know what? I really love the name LaWayne. I really just want to use it again.
Yes.
Like, what about
LaWayne?
LaWayne. It's basically the same name. It's great.
LaWayne. LaWayne was a shoe cobbler.
Oh, God. People. People.
I know. Yep. So anyway, Marlena's amazing grandfather, LaWayne, passed away in 2019 at the age of 80.
Wow.
It said he never stopped looking for his only granddaughter.
That poor family.
No. So there is, I'll post like pictures of what she would look like now. And, you know, but like, I don't know. Where did the girl go?
Where did the girl go? Where did the child go? That is so weird. That sucks.
Yeah. I think that if, I don't know, I'm really caught. I think that Pam probably killed her. I think it was probably an accident and she killed her. But I also feel like Pam would have said so by now. She would have led police to the body, or like she had enough conflicting feelings that I think if she'd really done it, she probably would have really confessed by now. And so part of me feels like that first confession was coerced, but maybe there is more truth to it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that she did it. And I think that maybe if she had gotten away with stabbing her son, she wouldn't have admitted to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. It's really hard, but it does seem like she most likely did it.
Yeah,
I would say. They're in Tennessee. Like, maybe that little girl is in the bottom of a mine or something. You know, I don't, maybe she also just knows that there's no finding the daughter. Maybe she really did put her in the river and she ended up so far down the river out to the ocean or something.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and I know there's so many found people that were never identified. So they could have found her remains and just never knew it.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I do think that she's probably not alive and that Pam probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is that Occam's razor?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whatever is the most likely thing is usually the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like that's the thing.
Yep. Or she's in Saudi Arabia with her family.
She could be in Saudi Arabia. She could be in Ireland. She could be in Mexico.
Old Mexico.
She could be in Venezuela or also Canada.
Yep. But I wish that she had been here with her grandfather and great uncle LaWayne and LaWayne.
Yes. God, what do you guys think? That is a strange one. That poor Casey. Ugh.
No, that poor family. I hope he's doing okay.
You just want to know everything about a family when you hear about a story like that, right? What was the day-to-day like? What was going on? You know, was Pam otherwise just completely average mom?
Right. Well, she really stopped talking completely after being arrested the first time. And there was a lot of articles with her family talking, but they wouldn't talk about Pam.
Right.
You know, definitely not like her history or her mental health or.
Right.
You know, but clearly there was some mental health issues happening.
Clearly. And we know confirmed that she was abused at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe she had a bad case of brain break.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I hope somebody somehow finds Marlena and we know what happened, but that does not seem likely in this lifetime, does it?
Nope. Sure doesn't. Poor Makes things. Me want to go comb through Namus and
seriously
find her in there or whatever. Yeah, but.
Well, I'm putting all my energy into her having gotten trafficked into adoption and growing up in a loving family, which is still pretty fucked up, but way less fucked up than
being murdered,
your mother
by
killing
your
you and throwing you in a river. Yeah.
Yeah. Being abducted by a stranger.
Yep. Boy, oh boy.
Oh. What do we have for the people?
Well, we've got name
it's time. Name time.
It's name time. Here we go, you guys. Oh my God, we've got a lot today. I am doing some work for HGTV, and so I did some casting, and so I man, who knew Well, I guess I could have figured it out, but casting is a great way to stockpile great names. And here are a few. Lion Dodsworth.
Yes.
Braxton Angle.
That's not a real name.
Riley DeCock. 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 Oh. I don't know. You tell me. Bo Predko. And Chauncey Trask.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
I know.
Did you hire any of them to work with you?
I did not, but I would consider hiring them for some sort of name competition, because they'd all win. It'd be a 5-way tie.
Yes.
Reverend John Keep Nutting. Oh boy.
Yes.
Barbara and Don Hardlicka.
Whoa. any way you slice that one, it works.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Lolly Gallop.
Adorable.
Adorable. Ginger Tugas. Beth Goodnight. Oh, this is from Clint. Some southern names. Gayla Coonrod and Jedediah Coonrod, which apparently are very, very common last and first names in the South. Coonrod.
Coonrod.
I know. He also gave us Pie Friendly, which people out there naming their children Pie.
Pie.
They deserve a special place in heaven, in the afterlife.
Yes, they do.
The Norwegian word for speed bump is fart humper. It's always funny. There's a Dr. Dick Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
Yes.
I think a listener heard that on a podcast too and said that they didn't even pause. They just kept going, Dr. Dick Payne. Like it was nothing.
God.
One of our listeners got an email from a Mr. Walid Bin Butt. Oh my God. Dr. Ken Hurt. Ken Hurt is a dentist in Albuquerque.
He works with Dr. Dick Payne.
Yeah. They all fulfilling their destinies as doctors and dentists. A listener's friend got ripped off by a tree company called the Tree Musketeers.
Don't call them. If you need trees, said done.
No. They said they also had a break-in, and the responding officer was Officer Pepperoni. Oh my God.
How is that real?
I do not know. There's a chiropractor, B. Handelsman. Sure does handles man.
Uh-huh.
Rudy. R-U-D-Y-R-U-T-T-I.
Oh my God.
We have a listener named Brittany Blizzard. Oh, Brittany, it's so cute. And Eric Areola. Jake McGargle. Oh, Doug McGoogle. And
no.
I saw a TikTok that was all these names of these kids who'd been recruited for high school or college football. We covered General Booty. Remember, yes. General, good old General Booty. There's DeColdest Crawford.
Wow.
Demon Clowney. And I confirm that these are real people, by the way. I did Google all these people. Bumper Pool. Storm Duck.
Wow.
Buck Coors. Fish McWilliams.
What?
I swear to God. panda askew? Pig cage.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And last but not least, boogie night.
Pig cage?
Pig cage. Fish McWilliams.
Wow.
And boogie night.
Wow.
I know. Thank you, TikTok.
Thank you once again, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Everybody wins. Everybody wins.
That's right. We had to take a brief pause in our recording, and while Courtney was doing business, I was checking her Instagram, and we just got a message from someone who said that they usually listen to the podcast with their ears, but she went to our YouTube channel and realized that our last name is Eck and thought that we were making silly nicknames for each other, like Sadiac and Courtneyac.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. We're going to have to enunciate more moving forward.
I know.
Eck. Well, and whenever everyone says, yeah, how do you spell your last name? Or what's your last name? I always say it's spelled E-C-K. Right. I never say
it. I usually have to say it's E as an elephant, C-K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. E-C-K. Yep. That's it. Yep. That's it. It's more of an utterance. It's more of a syllable.
Like, how many people have... It's not your fault. Started our podcast and thought that, and they were like, oh hell no, click.
Yeah, like ew,
gross.
How quirky.
We're crazy. We're Sadiac and Courtneyac.
Is that like a playoff of Celiacs too? What would we be riffing on? Yeah, Maniac or Celiacs. That's our name. That was a name we were given. And we have chosen to keep because we're both married people too, and we could have gotten rid of it, but
we didn't.
We're here to stay. X for life.
Maybe at X. Goodness. Let's do some shouty outies.
Yeah, let's do it. Who do we got? You guys.
Oh, so many of you.
So many. Right. So we had somebody comment on our Instagram and said, I always listen for my name and I haven't heard it yet. And you know what? Squeaky wheel gets the squeak. But also, we had you marked down in May, and we think we already did you, but we're going to do you again.
Yes. And if we didn't, we're so sorry. If sometimes my clickety finger gets too happy, maybe, and I just clicked that we completed your shout out and we didn't. So either way, we're so sorry.
If we are somewhere in like early July at this point, so if you signed up before July and you did not get your shouty outy, send us a little message. Yeah, because greasy wheel gets the squeak, you guys.
So thank you so much to Lindsay D.
Yeah, Lindsay D. Fuck yeah. You know what, Lindsay D? You are the champion. You are the president. You're the winner. I want you to get out there. I want you to show them what you're made of, because you know what you're made of? Vim, vigor, wickedness, coolness, hotness, sassiness, sexiness, all the Nesses. You're full. You're a basket of the Nesses, and we love you, and go.
Go get out there with Pig Cage and Fish McWhipple.
Fish McWilliams, Panda Askew, and Lindsay D out there. Full.
Yeah. Full hearts can't lose.
Yes.
Eyes, things about eyes too.
Greasy wheels get the squeak.
Yes. I was being the crowd going wild.
Demonic possession.
Same diff. Crowd going wild.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much to Veronica S.
Oh, I love the name Veronica. because it's like from the movie Heathers. They're the Heathers and the Veronica. And you know who's the coolest one? The fucking Veronica. The Heathers thought it was her, but it's not. Don't be a Heather. Be a Veronica. Be the, have the cool clothes, have the good attitude, get the guy, have the common sense, you know, be an icon, be individual, be a fucking Veronica. Yes, Veronica, Veronica, Veronica. Always good.
Yes.
Always be that. That was more like Papa just got up and had to expel whatever has settled in his lungs overnight.
Veronica!
Thank you so much to Stacey B.
Stacy believes that she can do it, and she can. She can go to the top. She can go to the land. She can go high, and she can go higher, and even higher than that. And she's right.
Well, probably not. What's the real way? Ian. Thank you so much to Ian D. I have a friend in high school named Ian, and so I think all Ians are Ians. Anyway,
what's the real way? The real way is I-A-N-I-A-N, spells Ian, not Ian, even though I is in the name Ian, it's Ian.
Unless and you're an Ian.
But he is not. He's Ian, and he's dreaming, and he's scheming, and he's seeing what's up, and he's going downtown, and he's finding it down there, and he's digging it up, because he's Ian, and he's seeing what it's all about. And what it's about is that Ian is I, but also if it's on a computer, it looks like a one, and he is number one.
It also looks like a lowercase L, so he could just be Lon. I'm a helper today.
Could just be Lon. Oh, help me. Help me.
This one's easy. Thank you.
Last one. Let's do one. Okay, I can't. One more. I think I'm going to pass out.
Don't die. Thank you so much to Jill. No last name, no address.
Yes. Just Jill. Yes. Much like Cher, Madonna, Zendaya, there's Jill. She's an icon. She's a legend. She's one name only. Jill walks into her room and she's like, "What's up? What's up, motherfuckers?" And everyone's like, "Jill!" And she's like, "Yep, yep, yes, yep. Thank you. I am a fashion icon. I am a multi-hyphenate actress, model, teacher, guru, cult leader, but cool in a cool way. Powerhouse, steamroller, and also she is a dog groomer. Jill, Jill, yeah. Jill, 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 Jill,
Jill, Jill, Jill, Jill, Jill, Jill,
Jill.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, my God. You guys, the only thing that's made me as happy as I am right now is watching the Alex Jones trial this week.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That guy. You know, yes.
Yep. You know what?
Sometimes you get your comeuppance. Ooh.
Yeah, and sometimes things go really well. Also, Kansas coming out in fucking force, saying, no.
Not even just like, it wasn't even close. They were like, hell no, no, we don't like this. Nobody likes it, and that's the problem, right? We all want people to be able to choose what to do with their own bodies.
Yes, well, that's why I'm like, Republicans don't want their jobs anymore. They're like, God, we're so tired. We want to go to Turks and Caicos. We have so much money, and why are we working so hard? And they're like, what can we do so that we just all lose our jobs? And they're like, overturn Roe v. Wade. I mean, come on. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. There's like 11 people who want it, and the 90, however much is minus 11 of 100, 80 whatever, they don't want it.
No.
So 79? 89. I don't know. Anyway.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want it. We want our rights. We want access to contraception and healthcare and abortions if we don't want children.
Yes.
Period.
Or abortions if you can't have a safe pregnancy for some reason. Like, there's just so many reasons.
As healthcare. Yes. There's so many reasons. Well, and like, even in Indiana, you know, like Eli Lilly, which is, I mean, basically, I think Indiana would just right into a fucking sinkhole without Eli Lilly. I mean, they're like, you know, we can't stay here if this is the case. And somebody I was talking to about it was like, yeah, right, they won't leave. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, pharmaceutical company, you're vying for the smartest, best, most talented minds in the world.
Yeah.
And I am a Gen Z millennial doctor. Mm-hmm. And I know how important abortion is for reproduction and like family planning. And if I'm going to start a family and start my career, I'm not going to do it in a state where I could face like death, you know, if there was an emergency. So yeah, it's a big, big, big deal on gazillions of levels. And I think that they screwed up. I think that they really massively screwed up, but
did you hear about
get to the polls fast enough? Go ahead.
get to the polls faster. Go.
Yeah.
How Schumer outmaneuvered McConnell. Probably the first time ever. Nope. So they just passed the inflation bill.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, there was some other bill that they had to agree on. I forget all the details, but basically, like, Schumer was like, yeah, we're not going to bring the inflation bill to the table. So let's pass this other bill. It was like a chip bill or something. We'll pass this bill and then we won't do this one. And McConnell was like, okay. And so they passed the bill. And then Schumer immediately brings the inflation bill to the table for votes. and then McConnell's like, well, we're not going to vote on the veterans bill. You've heard about that one, right? Where John Stewart was losing his mind.
Yep.
Even though they had the votes and then they took the votes back. And then everybody got very angry that they weren't going to support veterans, right? Like, the public freaked the fuck out. So McConnell had to go back on that and vote for it, and then Schumer was able to get his bill passed. You gotta just
take a page out of their playbook,
please. You guys, like, Democrats have got to start playing the game.
We've got to start playing the
game. So they were able to get three bills passed that help Americans, hopefully.
Incredible.
And veterans. Yeah,
incredible. Which, just like John Fetterman against Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, I mean, like, the polls in Pennsylvania are cuckoo crazy. You know, like 20% of Republican voters are backing John Fetterman, which he's an easy guy to back. You know, he's got like the optics, but still, it's like people don't want the shit that they're selling right now. They're just selling the wrong package. They got too much hubris, too big for their fucking britches, and now people are like, yeah, you can have that back. Thanks, but no thanks. Like, people want to be, like said before, people want to live easy. They want access to healthcare, affordable healthcare. They want fucking jobs. They want to pay their, you know, it's like the majority of people are simple. Right. And corporations and politicians have gotten so far removed from us that they're like, oh, they want to, I want to imprison women, and they're like, whoa.
civil war yeah, like, no. Please no,
we just don't want the planet to set on fire, and we would like to be able to go to the doctor without having to do a GoFundMe. Like, seriously. simple things,
right?
So anyway, rights. yes I always feel optimistic, but it's nice when you can actually see the sun peeking through the clouds, and I feel like that's what we got to experience last week. James was telling me, my business partner was saying that he was listening to a podcast and they were like, is this what Ben Shapiro feels like all the time? Like, it was actually a really good week.
Oh, Lord, I know. I had to check in with my therapist. I hadn't seen her in a while, and we were talking about how my anxiety had been spiking again.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what's been going on for you? And I was like, okay, let me think back.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't remember when it started. And I was like, oh, you know what happened is that I went away for my birthday with Ryan for 4 nights. And then I was like, oh, it wasn't that. It was that happened at the same time as Roe v. Wade. And she was like, oh, right. And I was like, and I happened to be on vacation with my husband, who I love, but it was very quiet. And so not only did that happen, but then I had 4 days to think about it. And she was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But I'd forgotten. Yep. I'd forgotten that that's when my anxiety really spiked. But of course it did.
Yeah.
So anywho.
Yeah, things are... I think we're going to be okay. I always do, but I really think we might be okay, guys. So keep it up, Buck, and vote.
Yes.
Fucking vote.
Vote. Stop spending money with, I don't know. Do the things. You guys know.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you. Just like check. Do them all. We'll be okay.
Yep. We will see you really soon.
We will, but slow down because we got to tell the people where to find us when they can't hear our voices in their ears. They can go to Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and that's it. At They Will Kill. They can go to our website, theywillkill.com. You can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Rate, review, subscribe. Please do it.
It's like every other week is like people who love us than people who think we laugh too much, which we do, which is fine. That's fair. Mm-hmm. We laugh a lot. We are not disrespectful for the victims. Nope. And if we ever are, I mean, this is something that Sadie and I take very fucking seriously, knowing that we laugh A, out of nervousness, and B, just because that's the nature of our relationship. But I do, if you ever hear one of us make fun of or laugh at the expense of a victim, please tell us. You will not see me get to my editing station faster than
seriously.
If I disrespect a listener or a victim.
Right.
So
100%.
I want to be 100% clear. I think that some people hear us laughing and feel like it's disrespectful in general, but we did get a review that said we laugh at the victim. And I was like, I don't think that's true. But if it is, especially those early episodes before we had kind of hit our stride. Anyway. Yeah.
But no. Right. Please let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you, AJ Bergantz, for our music.
Thank you so much.
My dogs have a lot to say. You hear Bee in the background? She's barking. Yeah. She's like, hey, I like you too.
I love you.
I'm bark at you.
And remember, she says,
we're off. Yeah, early today, my children, we were getting really frustrated at my dogs who bark all the time. And I was like, what happens if we just start barking back? And so the three of us just were like, ruff, 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 ruff. And Harvey, who is much more timid than Bee, stopped, and he like his ears went up and he was like, holy shit, and he ran away.
Oh no.
Beak didn't care, she just kept barking, but Harvey was like, no. What is happening? So probably shouldn't bark at your sensitive dogs,
or do
see what happens. All right, we'll see you real soon. Thanks for being here.
We love you so much. I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.